What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Bleeding Blue, a show about the New York Football Giants, and I will be saying that phrase for the final time.
Well, it's about their history, so.
Well, this is a show that at one point was about the Giants today, and then we rebranded it into a Giants history show.
Yep.
And I kind of made the decision that after, I think, some 60, 70 episodes of it being a history show, we are closing it down. We're closing shop.
We have touched on all the history.
Not really.
No.
Not really. There's always more to do.
I'm just trying to make you feel better about your decision here.
Well,
there's always more to do. David Powis.
How you doing?
How are you, my friend?
Thank you
for joining us.
I'm happy to be back.
I wanted to bring back David. If you're a listener of Bleeding Blue from when it was just my main Giants show, you know David. He was the co-host of Bleeding Blue for the majority of the episodes. And now you're here. Welcome to the John Boy Media offices in Manhattan.
It's great. It's great. This is much better than recording it in my basement with my dog barking. And this is much better.
Recording it in my college dorm at OBC in Philly.
A Dan Schneier interview.
Yeah. Where I was at where was that junior year?
I forget what hall. Overbrook Apartment Complex.
That was my senior year. What was my junior year? I forget.
Anyway. I don't remember. Yeah. Marion Gardens.
Philly loving assholes.
I live there too. I live there now.
We went to school together?
We did.
Joe's?
No, I'm happy to be back. I do like that this is your decision to end this because
yeah.
Since the inception of Bleeding Blue, you were a tyrant and a dictator. So it's appropriate that this is solely your decision.
I don't think it could have been said any better than that. Do you know what he has done to me
All right, so we'll start off with this. What is it like working with me?
Miserable.
Because it's different. We're Talkin' Giants is, like, everybody knows that Bobby's the main voice of Talkin' Giants.
And he sucks. And I edit
and I produce that, but Bleeding Blue has always been my baby, and I'm the one that, you know, brings us in. You're technically the one that brings us out of Bleeding Blue because you say fuck Tiki Barber at the end.
And I will today.
And you will today for one final time.
You can still say it.
I always will.
You want.
I always will.
But so what was it like? I don't want this to be about me. I want it to be about us, and I want it to be about the community that we built at Bleeding Blue and the two different phases of it. But what was it like working with me?
All right, so I will, David, real quick, and then I'll let you go because a lot of this should be about you, Justin. You built something really great, and you were able to branch off and do it when, you know, you started doing Talkin' Giants. You're like, okay, well, Bleeding Blue's still there, and mm-hmm. you revamped it and made it a history podcast or a show, and nobody else did that. Nobody else did, well, besides Big Blue VCR, but he doesn't have his own show.
Right.
So we actually were able to do something very special. And in the midst of misery for the last decade with this team, I think Bleeding Blue gave a lot of people, a lot of fans, some joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very proud of you and what you built here, and I'm glad. I think we're going to touch on this in a second, but Bleeding Blue brought us all together.
Yes.
Literally. That's the inception of our friendship.
Yep.
So working with you, miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely miserable. There'd be Saturday mornings, I'm hungover after a Friday night bender. Justin, can we just push it back? No, I got to do it now. Got to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you come to the Jersey City office so we can do it? Yeah, sure. It's only 45 minutes. 2.5 hours later with traffic. Okay. Thanks, Justin. But you always made it work, and you're always accommodating. So working with you has been a pleasure. And I know we're not dying. You're not dying. So we're still going to be doing a lot of things together. But Bleeding Blue, a special place in my heart always. Mm.
So I got started on Bleeding Blue, what?
2018.
Yeah, and how many episodes in were you?
Not that many, maybe like 20-ish, because at one point it was a Yankee show. It was a Giants and a Yankee show, but then once I really made the decision to do it just as a Giants show, that's when we started to gain our traction.
Yeah, and I remember you asked me to like come on an episode just one time. And I wasn't able to make it work.
You were the one. And you were the one that was like, "Well, I know you have a podcast, and if you're looking for somebody, I'll do it."
I'll do
so
it.
So I kept you in the back of my
yes,
brain,
and because I knew I wanted to do it, and started doing it in 18, and I think we went
every fucking week was a battle between you were an Eli Stan, and
yes.
I was so fucking done with
yes.
it. Every
yes.
week. I can't even go back and listen to episodes, and this is even with Talking Giants now, too. I can't go back and listen to shit, because I just cringe out, but I just know, I just remember, I mean, I would like boil a fucking hatred for you.
You were
Eli sucks. No, he doesn't. Eli sucks.
I still fervently believe that we wasted Eli Manning. That Eli Manning still had more winning football in him.
Yeah,
and it was all John Mara's fault. But I digress. So and Jerry Reese.
And you're not wrong. And I wasn't wrong.
Neither of us.
We were all right.
We were always right.
Always right too. By the way,
I'll reiterate what Snack said. Working with you can be a challenge because you want things to go so right because you put so much work into. Mm-hmm. A good product and you want it to be the best it possibly can be, and clearly you've accomplished that, and you're still getting better. Well, yeah. Look, I got to stroke his ego now and again. That's what he needs.
Oh, yeah.
That is
you
what
gotta,
I need.
You gotta,
that's what he needs.
That is what I need.
It's what he needs. I just the brief story I just want to share just to give an insight on how difficult Justin can be sometimes. Like,
sure.
Like how much he wants. In 2019.
Yeah, that's when I really got psycho about this.
You did. In 2019, the Giants played at the Detroit Lions. And
I think.
My good friend Ray and I, we went to the Lions. We went to that game.
Yes.
We drove to Detroit to go to that game. And it's about a 12-hour drive from New York where we both lived. And we're on the drive, and we were supposed to record that evening.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to record that evening.
Yeah, because Monday, you have to get a game reaction pod out.
You have to. You absolutely have to. Well, no. You wanted to record the night before the game.
Oh, that's right, because we were doing like a pregame show.
We were trying to do like a little
time.
Pregame show.
Yeah.
So I finished the drive from Detroit in the rain. It was pouring in Detroit. Got there about 8 o'clock at night after mm-hmm. driving all day. And then I had to set up my mic, set up the laptop and do
I
like
made an, you bring your mic
you made me bring all of it
yep
I had to do like an hour long pregame show for a game
was it really an hour long
it was probably about an hour we can go back and look but it was probably about an hour long
I'm sorry
I remember getting back and Ray falling asleep on the couch on the bed in the hotel room we were in. I was just so jealous of him because I was stuck talking to you.
Yep. One of my favorite lines that you ever told me throughout, you know, through the 2019 season is I associate your voice with misery.
Yes. Yes. And it still reigns true. I mean, I don't talk to you now, you know,
as
behind
often.
The mic as often
yeah.
anymore or ever. But, yeah. All kidding aside.
That's how you started a show one time. And at that, I mean, 2019 was really fucking rough compared to like 2018, blah, 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 2020, whatever. Because it was the 9-10 game losing stretch that we had in the middle of it where, you know, there was a middle ground by the time week 8, week 9 comes and they win Daniel Jones's first two starts and then they start losing with Pat Shurmur and Daniel Jones. So there's a middle ground of, oh, is Pat Shurmur's job safe? And then there eventually came a point where nothing fucking matters in this world.
No. Yeah. So working with you, always a challenge. Because you do demand, you want things to go a certain way, and mm-hmm. you are accommodating, like Snack said. We were always able to work through things, but you
doesn't
want,
matter what 11 p.m. I don't care. I will stay
I
up till 2-3 a.m. and
absolutely.
I will edit shit.
Absolutely,
yeah. Doesn't matter.
And the amount of work that you put in behind the scenes to make those shows work, to make this show work for the longest time, and you know,
it's special stuff. It really is.
Yeah. So you should be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
It's not the end of I don't think this is the end of either Snacks or I.
No.
No.
Chatting.
There's things going.
But you should be proud of yourself for what you accomplished.
Thank you. What episode
is this? What number?
I think this is... I stopped counting the numbers when we kind of rebranded it into a history show this offseason, but I do think this is like 170.
Mm.
170. I think we got through like 100 ourselves.
Yeah.
We had 28 shows last offseason. This is our 20th this offseason. And then I think just audio, we did, you know, maybe like 15-ish before we were officially on YouTube.
That makes sense, yeah.
So,
you should be proud of yourself.
Thank you. No, it's really, like, this wouldn't have happened without you. Like, without you actually, like, buckling down with me. Because I love, I had Renato Rodriguez, Michael Bokra, Brett Wiley, Jimmy Kroll. Those are some of the other co-hosts that I had before we mainly switched to a Giant show. We did like Yankee stuff a little bit too. And we did really good stuff with that. And I actually think some of our Yankee takes were like better than some of our Giants takes back then. Like when you actually like look back on it and some of the things that we said, but
well, you and I believed that Cody Latimer was going to be.
I was so huge on Cody Latimer, especially
after he wore that suit short to a wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys. Really big on Cody Latimer.
Yeah. Such douchebag.
Really. My best take that I've ever had is the rise of Marcus Golden and Leonard Williams. But anyway, right there, Snack.
By the way, you were right. Leonard Williams, I can't believe he's been here for going to be, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
It's 2019. You're right.
So he's, 2.5 years. So,
fuck him.
He may outlast Kenny Golladay. Like, Kenny Golladay is probably going to be moved on from
that. I think they both get cut in the offseason.
I don't think it's a lock that Leonard Williams gets cut. Mm. I think there's a chance that he's here because they like him.
I think it's a certainty, but we're not here to talk about that.
Right. No, I want to get to you know, especially David's thoughts on the Giants today. It's been a couple years since he's been able to give some thoughts on that. But, you know, really this wouldn't have happened without David actually, you know, just locking in with me. And you didn't know where it could have gone or, you know, what were we going to do. And I just started a show. I didn't have like a full on plan for it, and things changed as time went on. But especially that training camp of 2019 where I like really locked in, because we were doing it throughout 2018, didn't grow at all. So I kind of had this moment of I looked at myself in the mirror. I looked around at what other people were doing. I'm like, well, how can we actually make this something that it can do something? With not even estimating of, you know, where the show could go or, you know, where I could go personally. But how can we just get more people to listen to our show? And it was social media and being more consistent than what we already were doing. So that training camp of 2019, we were recording every single weekday.
Yeah.
I would work at the Philly DA's office from 9 to 5.
I was teaching.
You were working a full-time job.
Yeah.
'Cause you graduated. And we would come home. And we would record every single night, whether it was a regular episode or our basically PPPs, but previewing the Giants. We did every single significant Giants player on the roster. And because I'm such a fucking psychopath, I not only said we needed to record Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday we had episodes out as well throughout the month of August.
Yeah.
Every single day in August.
Neurotic. He's out of his mind.
Tyrant.
Tyrant. Yeah, Tyrant. You're 100% right. Tyrant.
Every single day in
August.
His
voice really residues misery. Yes. You're 100% right.
Every single night, I would go home, and I remember watching the NBA Finals. I think Steph Curry was in it.
He's been in like seven of the last eight. So.
But like, there was a tiny TV. I was staying in... I didn't have my apartment open at the time because the lease didn't start. So my friends from college, like Anne and Michelle, it was the same complex, but I lived in their apartment, like on the floor above. And I was watching in their pink and purple apartment the NBA Finals and working on the positional value pyramid that I put out for all 32 NFL teams and getting the PFF grades, getting the stars. Jimmy Kroll helped me out with that. I wanted to estimate, trying to measure value and how teams value certain positions around the National Football League and stuff like that. So that was huge. That was a huge summer for us, and I think it kind of catapulted us to some good spots.
I will maybe kind of a segue to...
And we met that summer.
Yes.
That's when we kind of met.
That's exactly where I wanted to segue to, like, I was saying before, Bleeding Blue has brought us together.
Yeah.
We're all, us three, we're good friends now because of it. David, I wish I saw you more often. I know it's tough. You live in the boondocks.
Otherwise known as just outside Philly.
Oh, otherwise, yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing is that you used to live, like, here in the city. You lived in Queens.
Yeah, right.
And then you moved back down to Poe, kind of close to where we went to school.
Fuck Philly.
Yeah.
So, like Justin, you know, me and you are very good friends now. But also, your friends are my friends, too.
Yes.
Like Bokra and Jimmy and Anton. Like, I care about those guys a lot. And that all of that is because of Bleeding Blue.
Yep.
Literally, all because of it. And I remember the exact moment where I was sitting on my couch. You tweeted out. I think I had just recently started following you because I was looking for, like, you know, Giant stuff to listen to. And I saw Justin Panic pop up. And I saw a podcast. I was like, oh, I'll listen to it. And I loved what you guys were doing. I loved it because it was just like, it was almost like friends talking at a bar about the Giants. And that's the shit I love. And you guys did the town hall episode where you asked, like, everybody for questions and shit.
That was our first ever mailbag because I was always I was always afraid that we weren't, like, if I ever put out, like, hey, ask us questions, which I don't like. I feel bad for shows that maybe do that. It's like, oh, leave us questions, but they don't get that many questions.
Right.
So I finally felt comfortable because I phrased it around, oh, yeah, the Giants had a town hall where Gettleman, Shermer, Eli, all right, so let's have our own town hall. And then that's when
you
slipped me a DM.
I DM'd Justin, and I wrote him, like, a novel. It was, like, this long. I wish one of us had, like, the stamina to go all the way back and find it. I definitely don't.
You wouldn't dare.
Keep talking.
You
There's
wouldn't.
No way. There's
Keep
no
talking.
Way.
So, and I asked the question about, like, Jerry Reese, like, why does he get this leash, all these different things, and I was cursing in it.
Oh,
it's just like,
the last DM that you sent me, you are a dope.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that was all. I figured I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, you are. That sounds about right. But I sent this whole, and then I remember listening to it, and when you guys brought it up, I was like, oh, this is so cool. It was like the first question I got, you know, that somebody read from me, and then I was doing like the fantasy football stuff, and then I think you were on vacation, David, and it was that summer, and Justin's like, you want to...
You know, it's funny, you were on vacation too, and I made you record it.
I was on vacation, that's right.
I don't even know him at this point.
But he's like, you want to come on and talk like Giants fantasy football? I was like, yeah, sure, that's awesome. And then from there, everything was just budding, and I think the next year we actually met in person, all three of us.
I have the message.
You have the message?
June 20th, 2019.
Oh, gosh.
I'd ask John Merritt his thought process over keeping Jerry Reese for as long as he did and not Tom Coughlin. What did he see in Jerry's ability to build the roster, but didn't see in Coughlin's coaching? If he was letting Coughlin go, why wouldn't he tear it all down and then take Reese with him? So at this point, you weren't getting a. How the fuck did John Merrick keep that miserable,
right.
I wasn't there yet.
You were on good behavior.
It's so funny you found it. I guess we don't really DM too much. So
I was like, figured we don't.
Oh man, but that's really the inception of our friendship.
Our friendship.
Three of us.
Yeah, even.
And our and you know, David. Again, I wish I saw you more. Me and Justin see each other at least once a month, right?
Yes,
I would say.
Yes,
try for a little bit more, but it's a special thing. So, I know you wanted to bring up how we met, and that's kind of it.
That's how we all met.
That's kind of it.
Do you want to get into the story of how I caused the breakup of one of your longest term relationships?
No, not one of the longest one. The girl I thought I was going to marry.
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Well, no, this is your story. 2019.
But all right, so 2019, and it dives into you guys too because you two live streamed Daniel Jones's first win.
Yes.
Tampa Bay.
Yes,
so right, we'll get to that.
You could start with that.
Yes,
and then we could transition. So talk
Perfect.
About that
yeah,
live
yeah,
stream.
Good idea.
All right, so here, little tease. So I think honestly, one of the best moments, and this isn't just of Bleeding Blue, this is one of the best moments of, like, honestly, of, like, my Giants fandom life.
Yeah, I mean, there comes a point, I feel like, every offseason since this happened, where, like, there comes a point, maybe in mid to late July, where every couple of days you go on Twitter and somebody posts this and is like, remember when Daniel Jones did this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like we were all excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this is 49 seconds, and this is when Matt Gay misses the field goal.
33.
Oh, my God! Okay. Justin, do you want to pray?
David,
are you a praying man, Justin?
No, I'm not really a praying man.
Link arms. We're linked. Bleeding Blue is linked.
Blue mic.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah, hearth that shit. It's nice and centered for what? For fucking what? Too bad you're gonna fucking miss it. You and your neon cleats. You fucking loser. You fucking
we were born to be
loser.
Friends, David.
Oh, yeah.
He missed it! He fucking missed it! He fucking missed it!
So there you go. That's so classic.
It's great. So we went live on Periscope.
Yeah, it you know what? And doing that live like that, it's so awesome. And I remember watching that later on, just like cracking the fuck up.
Because at that point, neon cleats.
At that point, like, well, I hadn't known you guys yet. Well, no, I guess I did. It was that year, wasn't it? Well, either way,
yeah,
like
that's when we.
It was that. Yeah,
that summer we talked. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So like, I knew of you guys. I knew you, and
but we weren't like close like we were.
Correct.
Like we were
correct. Now. And I just remember dying. My favorite part is when Justin brings the camera back to me, starts laughing, and then you're in the background like laughing, and you
Daniel
hear, like, the
fucking
echo.
Jones,
yeah, Daniel fucking Jones. God, that's so good. That's so good. And that blue mic is classic.
That $30 karaoke microphone.
Classic.
I've recorded podcasts on it, and it sounds fine.
Yeah, I mean, remember the first time I came down by you? I was wearing a maroon shirt, just like that college shirt. We went out to dinner. I think it was me, you, Boker, and Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a live stream at your dining room table.
Yeah.
With that microphone.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And it sounds great.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I still have the same Samsung Q2U microphone.
I have it.
You have it?
Yeah, it's
I still have it.
I still use it.
I still have
mine.
You have yours.
I have yours, yeah.
Like literally, like I did my research and I'm like, okay, what is a good, cheap USB microphone for podcasting? And I found it, and I still have the same brand from when I started. I have not differentiated.
It's crazy. It's funny how that works. So that live stream leads to another win. We're 1-2, 2019. And then we beat Washington.
Yes, we did.
Ugly game.
We kicked the shit out of Washington.
It was still an ugly game.
Dominating game.
Yeah, it was an ugly game. So we're 2-2.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed because I knew it was coming. So I'm dating a girl.
Abroad.
Nice.
Caught myself.
Yeah.
A woman.
Not really.
Yeah, not really.
You got halfway there.
Yeah.
It's a five-letter word. Yeah.
You know, some people try, some people fail. Anyway, so we're dating for like 4 years at this point. And Justin and I, we're friends, but we're not.
Correct.
Not
yeah.
Not really friends.
Yep.
Just kind of just like talk through Twitter. I think we had each other's number at this point.
Yeah,
because you called me. So it's like Saturday night, and the next day my ex-girlfriend's sister has an engagement party, and a big deal, whatever. And you know I was going to be in there and everything, so I had to go, and I was going to miss the Giants versus Vikings game that was for first place. At that time, it was for first place.
Yes.
Early October.
That was the biggest game. Week 5 against Minnesota was the biggest game that we played since 2016.
I remember, correct. And I remember doing a pregame show for that and like categorizing it.
Yes, yeah. Like
it
we are 2-2.
Lost.
We could be fucking above 500 in the month of October
and in first place.
And they got shit pumped. But
well,
story shades of 2015.
Story
we were 2-2.
So Justin calls me Saturday
remember that
night.
Touchdown pass to Red Ellison. Remember that?
Was that Red Ellison year?
In that game, yes.
Red Ellison,
oh
yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton.
Slayton had it back in the
No, that was against. You're thinking against Cardinals.
Yeah.
Red Ellison had it.
Yeah, Red Ellison was the Cardinals. Yeah.
Darius
yeah.
Slayton.
Darius
against,
Slayton was the Vikings. Yeah,
of course. But I caused
No, no, no. No, it's fine because.
That was a miserable fucking
game. I got a call Saturday night and Justin's like, we need you there. You got to come. And again, this is at the point where I'm like, all right, Justin, I know you. I like you. You're a good guy. I love the show, but I can't be barking orders here. Can't be getting barked orders here. I mean, every fiber in my body, I wanted to be there.
Tyrant.
But, like, I had a tyrant.
I think I played with your heartstrings.
But
because,
I had an obligation.
No, I played
a
with.
A serious one.
I played with your heartstrings because I probably did say, we need you there. Because.
You literally said that.
Because you are the Giants.
I am.
And you give more effort than the players do every single fucking Sunday.
Correct. So when you said that, I was like.
Yep.
So I was like, I can't commit to it. I don't think I'm going to do it. This is Saturday night.
Yep.
And I remember we were watching Godfather 2 in my bed when you called me.
Yep.
And she's like, you know you're not going. I was like, Yeah, I know. Don't worry. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I woke up Sunday morning at 6 o'clock and I said, fuck this. I'm playing for first place today. I'm going.
Yep. Goddamn right.
I said, I'm going. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, Justin sold me. I'm in. I'm going. So she stormed out, took her bag, stormed the fuck out. When she was from Brooklyn. She went back to Brooklyn. And I'm like, can you let me know when you get home? She goes, yeah, over my dead body. And I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Nice.
I said, well, I'm going to go play for first place. met up with Justin at the tailgate.
Had a great tailgate.
I think Steen was there. Shano was there.
That's probably where I met you.
That's
probably where we met. The Vikings game?
I think it was probably. Before that.
Or the home opener. Yeah.
It was the home opener. But either way, yes, you were there. And so I did this, and that was the downfall of my relationship with the girl.
Yeah,
it was the start of the fall. It legitimately was. I was unreliable. I was doing like this. She goes, you really do care about this team more than you care about anything. I was like, yeah, I've been telling you that since day one. So anyway, we proceed to get our shit pumped in by the Vikings.
There you go.
And I got bitched at for a week straight.
I think I have to bleep that out.
I think you might.
Probably.
Yeah,
I will. Yeah.
Sorry, Julian.
No, this is me this week.
Oh, this is you this week? Fuck.
I'm not going to fucking send this to him on the last minute.
Yeah, that's a good point. Fuck you, Julian. But yeah, so that was really the downfall. I went to an early October game, 2-2 for first place, over an engagement party that I really needed to be at. And about a year later, we broke up. So that was the downfall, and that's his fault.
She really liked me, though.
She loves you.
Which is the ironic part, because I was the cause of the fall.
Yep.
Well, but, you know, if she couldn't understand your decision to do that.
I agree. Not the one.
Exactly.
I agree. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
And I told her from day one. I always said to her, I said, you will never, ever, even if we get married on that wedding day, if I'm crying, you're walking down the aisle, it's probably because I'm thinking about February 3rd, 2008. Like, that's why I'm crying. You will never be more important to me than the Giants, ever. Nobody will. Nobody. My brother, my father, aunt, nobody.
I've told my current girlfriend, like, yes, love you. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you come second.
Absolutely.
You come second.
Absolutely.
There's nothing more, like,
the Giants
there's nothing
are
more important
first.
To me.
Nothing. And I said that from day one, so she knew what she was getting into. So the fact that I did go to that game and got you know, coerced into it by Justin should have been no surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have told her Saturday night that I was going to go because I knew it Saturday night. I just woke up Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
You're feeling dangerous.
I'm doing this. I don't give a shit. 6 a.m. I was feeling good.
Mm.
And I always sleep in my Eli Manning jersey Saturday night. So I was like, dude, I'm going. Fuck this.
Mm.
But it's her own fault. So look what she missed out on. Look at this blue shirt. It pops my eyes.
You do have beautiful eyes. We've talked about this.
Thank you.
How about mine?
Hair looks great today, too.
Yeah it's very nice, actually.
Yeah? I was feeling a good hair day today.
Yeah. Yeah,
what color are each of us wearing?
Oh, that's right. You're colorblind, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I actually had no idea that was blue until you just said it.
That's great.
So I'm going to say blue.
No, you can't be a racist.
And actually, you said that his shirt was maroon earlier.
Yeah.
I did say that, yeah.
That's maroon and that's blue. I don't know what I'm wearing.
What color are the wires?
I don't know what I'm wearing.
What color are the wires up there?
This is bad radio because nobody else can see the wires.
That's all right.
They're blue.
Good guess.
Yeah, good guess.
You don't know what shirt color you're wearing?
No, I actually don't.
So how do you match?
Give it the best shot I can. Am I matching today? This isn't bad.
I mean, yeah, it's fine.
It's not a specific match.
So wait, time out.
I'm wearing gray shorts.
Before we get a little bit further into
this is one of the most fascinating things about David.
Colorblind is crazy to me.
Yeah.
So you just see black and white?
No.
What do you
see? Not a dog.
So what do you see?
Dogs aren't fully colorblind. I actually looked that up the other day.
Really?
Not fully.
That's news to me.
That's news to me.
What do you see?
It's just that shades of certain colors are hard to it's hard to differentiate.
This is
colors.
Very obvious that this is red. I think it's very obvious that you're wearing blue.
That's what I'm
saying. This is a tough color to point
right,
out.
Right.
That's
like,
a tough
so
one, yes.
If what color is this? I would tell you it's either blue or
Hunter
green.
Hunter green.
But I have no idea which.
It's a good name for somebody.
I had a friend in school named Hunter.
Hunter Green?
Hunter Henry.
Well, his name wasn't Green, but I know there's a color Hunter Green. So.
My guess is teal, but that is definitely probably not.
Nah,
like,
it's not
I
teal.
Couldn't
no.
tell you.
Teal's a little bit more blue.
I'm bad with colors.
So am I. I'm terrible.
So.
Me too. me too.
Zinger.
Zing.
Yeah, no, I just match by the majority of my wardrobe is fairly neutral. I don't really go outside my comfort zone of like gray, red.
Mm-hmm.
maybe the occasional blue.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know what color my hair is?
It looks cool.
What do you say? It looks cool.
You're having a great hair day.
I am.
He is.
So it doesn't matter.
I felt it. Shame. Listen, this was a big show, and I stormed into this place pissed off.
You did.
So.
Yeah, Garrett Cole pitching today. You're missing part of the British Open.
But I will say it all worked out because you did me a favor. You had the British Open on when I got in here. So I watched the last three holes.
Oh, wait, it's over?
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
I thought there was 18 holes. I thought they were on like hole 7.
There literally is 18 holes. They were on 16.
When he walked in, they were on 16.
Oh, I...
So you did me a huge favor. I was listening on Sirius XM. I was listening to golf on the radio on my way here because it was such an electric finish.
Yeah.
Caleb Smith, 6 birdies in a row, something like that. Anyway.
20 under?
20 fucking under. At the old course.
20 under.
Crazy.
I thought it was still going on.
No. What else we got?
One of my personal favorite moments, and I still think this is very, very cool. We hyped up Marcus Golden.
Yeah.
God, here we go.
Yeah, we did.
The summer...
The worst 10-sack season of all time. Go ahead.
Wow.
Sorry.
Define that. You are so miserable.
They were all coverage sacks. You know that.
You
he
are
had no
so,
moves.
Oh, my
nothing.
God.
Am I wrong? And no,
you
no,
are not.
You're
wrong.
Smirking because you know I'm right.
You are so fucking
no,
miserable.
I'm not. I am fucking miserable. We know that. Everybody knows that.
You complain that there's no 10 sack players on the Giants, and then one finally fucking comes and he's not fucking good enough.
Because he had no moves. He had no swim. He had no rush. He had nothing. It was cover check.
You are so
dumb. You know that.
Dumb.
You know that. I'm sitting this one out. I'm going to go pee. You talk about fucking Marcus fucking Golden while I go shit talk Garrett Cole.
I can't go from that to back down.
Talk about Marcus Golden. I really have to be honest.
I mean, to be fair, we spent a lot of time talking about Marcus Golden.
Yeah.
You and I.
That's when I started to get into, like, advanced stuff, like pressures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was looking, especially, you know, you have the connection of James Betcher when he was in Arizona.
Right.
That's when Marcus Golden was his best. Marcus Golden was asked to put his hand in the dirt a little bit more after James Betcher, and then also he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
And then I heard somewhere from Snacks's partner at BDGE, Nick Ercolano, about like you are really like your body is at tip top physical shape, not the first year after you tore your ACL, but the second year. Like that is when your body is at its absolute best. And then lo and behold, that was just all of those perfect things coming together. He's back with James Betcher. He's not going to put his hand in the dirt. Second year off the torn ACL, Marcus Golden is going to have a really good year. Where even if he doesn't get a lot of sacks, I was like, he's going to get the QB hits. He's going to get the pressures. And I think Giants fans are going to like him. And lo and behold, I'm tweeting about him, blah, blah, blah. This is a Giants player that I think fans should be excited about. And then his father, Marcus Eberhardt, is very active,
on Twitter. Yeah.
Still active on Giants Twitter. Basically, I think he name searches his son. So I think just whatever...
Mm-hmm.
He finds it.
Definitely.
Finds it right away.
Definitely.
So Marcus Eberhardt was going to be at the Giants preseason game. Can't tell you who it's against. Jets.
I think it was. I think they tied.
Sure. Oh, then it just ended in regulation?
They tied the Jets in preseason recently.
So this was preseason 2019, the year that Marcus Golden got there. So he's there. He DMs me and we meet up at like halftime. And then, lo and behold...
This would be 2019, right?
Yes, this would be 2019. Home game. There was probably two home games.
No, they won. 31-22.
Wow. Good job, Giants.
We scored 30 points!
I think 2019, we were preseason champs. We went undefeated. Didn't we go undefeated 2019 preseason?
I'll tell you.
We went undefeated 2019 preseason. We're reliving the glory days of that.
Alex Tanny, 14 for 19, 190 yards, touchdown,
fuck
no picks.
Alex
Kyle LaLetta, 9 for 12, 116
huge.
Yards and a touchdown.
Huge,
Daniel
huge,
Jones,
huge.
5 for 5, 67 yards.
Is that the Jet game?
Eli Manning, 1 for 1, 3 yards.
Mm.
Huge. Yeah,
check down.
Huge 3 yards.
Check down.
That wasn't Kevin Gilbert.
Paul Perkins had 4 carries for 9 yards.
Paul Perkins, rest in peace, man.
Huge. Yeah, rest
in
peace.
He's not dead, right?
No, he's not dead.
TJ Jones.
Huge.
Well, I love TJ Jones. That was somebody I loved, and you hated him.
Yeah?
TJ Jones. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
And I think he fumbled a kick return in like the third preseason game and you were totally out on him.
Tough. Tough.
Yeah.
Tough.
Wouldn't happen if Coughlin was coaching.
But I meet up with Marcus at halftime and then he gives me like this family yellow wristband that is still in my room. So I was invited to the Giants family tent after the game. I met Marcus Golden. Also met Daniel Jones. Tenny Adewusi, who was an undrafted free agent safety. He was my quarterback when I played for the Port Reading Saints. He was a safety on the Giants.
That's actually very cool, yeah.
So he was a safety, so I saw him, and he was like, dude, yeah, what's up? So,
I remembered you.
John Hillman. I went to high school with him.
Hillman, yeah.
He was really fucking bad.
He was bad?
Yeah. For the Giants.
He
fumbled like his second game.
Really bad. And then remember he got the start against the Patriots, and that was one of the most miserable games we've ever seen in years.
That Thursday Night Football game?
Yeah, Thursday Night Football game. Yeah, that was really, really bad.
We were in
it. The defense played well.
I was just going to say, we were in
Marcus Golden had a fucking fumble return for a touchdown.
Golden Tate had a long touchdown.
That was a sick catch.
That was a slot fade. Wondell Robinson's going to run a lot of that this year.
Wondell Robinson's a bust.
Sure.
Wow.
So anyway, I that was a cool time. John Jalapio, I took a picture with too. He's a cool guy. It's funny that we actually, you know, John Jalapio's actually like a professional. Like we have like a good kind of like good relationship with him now.
He sucks.
He wasn't great. Thanks. We don't need to throw that out there.
I mean, I suck at
nice guy
too. Yeah, I'm not, did I say he was a bad guy?
Yeah, no. But, Daniel Jones was a goober. Met his mom.
How'd she
look? And she was pretty.
Yeah,
she was pretty Zach Wilson mom esque.
Wow.
I don't know. Zach Wilson's mother's pretty hot.
But I mean, I was there in person, and it was very different.
Give me details.
I didn't fully. She was blonde.
Okay.
Tall.
She was
blonde?
I think she's blonde.
That's shocking.
I may have not been talking to his mother, and I just and I just thought I was talking to his mother. But she was kind of asking me, like, who are you?
What is your relevance here?
What are you doing around here? And I have a podcast. So
what is a podcast? Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm a little curious. I want to learn.
The story is taking too long.
It's okay.
I
want to know more about Daniel Jones' mother.
I don't think you were talking to her as mom.
No.
No.
But she was a middle-aged woman that knew Daniel Jones well.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm out. Yeah, no. No.
No, no. That was not her.
Right. Good job, Justin.
There was I'm still claiming that it was his mother. That's not his mother, the picture.
I'd love to meet Zach Wilson's mother, but anyway, go ahead.
That was basically it. Just being asked in that family tent and having that relationship with Marcus Golden and his family.
I'm also going to,
we were nobody at that point.
I'm going to tell the truth here. I didn't have to pee. I wanted you guys to talk about the Marcus Golden because I want to watch it later tomorrow. And
it took us very long to get through it.
I know. I'm very excited to hear it because that's like the bread and butter, bleeding blue, you guys. Like, that Marcus Golden story is unbelievable. I wanted nothing to do with it.
Cody Latimer, too.
Well, that's just another...
Cody
Latimer's
wife.
The problem is, you claim you called Marcus Golden's rise and Leonard Williams' rise, but...
Here we go.
The problem is the amount of guys we also were really confident were going to break out.
But who else? Cody Latimer.
Cody Latimer.
Who else?
If I go through, like, rosters of, like, the 2019 Giants, I guarantee you there's more. Should I do it? I think I should.
That's
a fun exercise.
See, this is why you guys should be like me and think the worst of every single player.
And motivate them.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think RJ Barrett averaged 20 points a game this year?
You pushed him to do that.
Yep.
That ain't probably, he worked tirelessly in the gym. Maybe because of you.
I'd say it's like 75-35. Oh, that's 110.
Good job.
Caught myself.
Good job.
Caught myself. Listen, I'm here to talk Giants history and bleeding blue, not fucking math.
All right, so let's go through the 2019 Giants roster.
Okay.
I actually at one point have re-listened to our reaction to Daniel Jones being drafted.
Yeah.
And it was good.
I think you and I had some of the most, and I mean this humbly, of course.
Yes.
If you go back to a lot of shows and talking heads, quote unquote,
reactions to that
draft pick, I think you and I might have been two of the more level-headed reactions to that. Our whole reaction was, I think the title of the episode was, the Giants got their guy.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
because that's
what they wanted.
Because basically,
you
and I were arguing every fucking week in 2018, get it, we need a different quarterback, we need a different quarterback, no, we don't. And Daniel Jones was just like, okay, yeah, may not be right now, but they got their guy, and I need to shut the fuck up now. So,
I was in Nashville for that too. So,
yes,
that was brutal. I was wearing an Eli jersey, and everybody was just on the street, just shitting on me. You drafted Daniel Jones. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
So, in the interest of time, I'm just going to kind of rapid fire list off these
names. Did we ever think that Evan Engram was going to take this huge
every single year. Every single year we did this.
I mean, you know what? I'm in on that one too.
Every year it was going to be Evan Engram.
I think you were more than I was.
Probably because
he's just way too athletic for him never to do
exactly. Yeah. Except
he was good with Pat Shurmur. He fucking got hurt with Shurmur.
Well, the problem is he also catches the ball like he has three fingers. But
that too, that miserable malignant fucking piece of shit.
I hate him. I hate
Philly. I'll never forget. That COVID year. You were there.
I was there too.
Fucking pay.
I was there. We tailgated that game together.
Yes, we did.
In your hotel room.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, he sucks. Sorry. I can't wait for him to have like 200 yards receiving against us when we play Jackson.
No, he's gonna kill us.
Oh, yeah. Evan Engram revenge game this year. Huge.
Yeah, yeah. There's also a Kenny Golladay revenge game,
which you will be at.
Yeah. Okay, so starting offense: Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Golden
Tate.
We all
know the
Evan
feelings
Engram,
on Saquon
Nate Solder, Barkley. Will Hernandez, John Jalapio, Kevin Zeitler, Mike Remmers. Starting defense. This is rough. B.J. Hill, Dalvin Tomlinson, Dexter Lawrence, Marcus Golden, Alec Ogletree.
We were wrong about B.J. Hill. I thought B.J. Hill was like, B.J. Hill needs to be a player that takes control of the defense.
He had that season one sack.
I mean, yeah. That year. Okay. Well, B.J. Hill was a good ball player.
But 2018, he did well. He broke the rookie sack record that isn't the rookie sack record because Lawrence Taylor technically had it before Azeez Ojulari. Correct. I thought B.J. Hill, like in 2019, you need to take that, like in a way you kind of need to take that Leonard Williams jump of like, in your rookie contract, getting 6-7 sacks and having just a solid year.
And he did not do that. Can you do me a favor and bleep out Dalvin Tomlinson's name and bleep that out too? Because I loved him. Loved him.
Oh, I did too.
And that was the one player that's like justifiably good expectations for.
Yeah.
Here's what I loved.
Alec Ogletree.
Hated, justifiably so. And I thought, Bobby Skinner, that dumb motherfucker, he fucking defends Alec Ogletree. Oh, he's good in some areas. No, he sucks.
Led the league in missed tackles.
Sucks. And I'm so glad we predicted his downfall.
He gave no production for us at all, which is nuts.
No, well, I mean, he had interceptions.
Please.
He had interceptions.
Please.
Stumbled with the ball.
I take a shit in the morning. It stumbles into it.
You're lucky. David Mayo. Lorenzo Carter, DeAndre Baker, Jackrabbit Jenkins, Jabril Peppers, Antoine Bethea. And Jackrabbit Jenkins is how it's listed on Pro Football Focus.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's not.
Where is Zoe now?
Carter. Lorenzo Carter, I think he's with Atlanta. Signed a one-year deal with the Falcons.
He's one guy, I don't know if you guys talked him up. He was one guy I really liked.
I think we did.
You definitely did. I thought he was like a steal coming out of Georgia in the third round.
One of our viral clips is when Bokra and Jimmy went to Giants training camp together, and I told him it was one of those days that I couldn't be there, so I said, take clips and post them to the Bleeding Blue account. And Lorenzo Carter had an interception.
Yeah, I remember that.
The summer of 2019, and that was huge, and they caught it. And I'm like, no fucking way you guys got it.
Some other notable names, just very quickly, off of that team. Corey Ballantyne.
Sure.
Sam Beal.
Oh, my
of
God.
Of course. Ryan Conley.
This is so sad.
Cody Core.
Gave a lot of love to Grant Haley being a really, really good run defender.
I hated Grant Haley. I hated Grant Haley.
First of all, his name is Grant.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
I hated him.
You knew he had no shot. Unless your last name is Grant, because Deion Graham was a
monster. Tay Davis, Red Ellison, Benny Fowler, Devontae Downs.
Devontae Downs was on 20. No, he was on 2020.
Grant, Devontae Downs.
No way.
Played in 7 games.
No way.
Will Hernandez, obviously. Antonio Hamilton. He was terrible.
I made a compilation in 2019. 2019, week one against Dallas, I made a compilation of all the 10 times that Antonio Hamilton got embarrassed and didn't belong on a football field. Do you remember that?
And then he called you fat boy.
No, that was Curtis Riley.
Curtis Riley, I'm sorry. He called you fat boy. He said, you better drink some milk, fat boy.
I said that if Curtis Riley made a roster, I said I would do the milk challenge. And he somehow made the dumb fucking Mike Mayock Raider roster.
Yeah.
Aldrick
Rosas.
I never did the milk challenge.
Spencer Pulley. RJ McIntosh. Russell Shepard. He was terrible.
Sure.
Awful.
So I think one of my points is that, we got Cody Latimer wrong. Yeah, B.J. Hill. What Giants fan wasn't excited about B.J. Hill? What Giants fan wasn't excited about Lorenzo Carter? There wasn't... Really, our only outlandishly wrong take was getting excited for Cody Latimer.
Very.
Which is just absurd. I'm sorry.
But also, being right
it's
about...
absurd.
Being right about Marcus Golden, and then when I was...
Were you actually right about Marcus Golden, though?
Yes, I was. He had a 10-sack year... 30 fucking QB hits, too.
This is why I left the room. I'm not doing this.
It's not like he just pulled 10 sacks out of his ass.
He literally did.
There are players, listen to me, there are players that get 10 sacks and then 15 QB hits, and then they'll have 2 sacks the next year, because that's how it fucking works if you don't get consistent pressure on the quarterback. He had 30 fucking QB hits. That's consistent pressure on the quarterback. At like 40, over 40 pressures.
Did he have a move? Did he have anything?
The fuck does it matter if he has a move?
Are you kidding me?
Hand swipe.
You fucking bitch and moan about Ojulari doing the same shit with his coverage sacks and all that bullshit.
He doesn't get pressure.
You are so fucking...
He has 8 sacks with like 15 QB hits.
Now you're pissing me off.
Marcus Golden had 30 QB hits.
No. Now you're pissing me off.
You are so dumb.
I'm dumb.
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
I watched him with my 2 eyes.
You're defending... Aziz, fine player, but you're saying that, oh, Aziz Ojulari's season was better than
when
Marcus Golden's
that?
2019?
When did I say that?
You implied it.
I did not imply it. I said
don't make assumptions, Justin.
I said you bitch about Ojulari getting these fucking coverage sacks because he has no moves, nothing like that. Golden.
When have I ever bitched about that?
Wes, Tim, bring it the fuck up. Go find it in a
Tim
fucking
Coffey.
Giants.
Tim Coffey doesn't listen
fuck
to this.
Fuck Tim Coffey, you miserable piece of shit. I'm telling you, my blood is boiling right now.
No, I see that. Yeah. Garrett Cole, British.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Garrett Cole.
Let's see what the score is.
Probably 4-3.
Probably.
Red Sox. Sorry. All right. Justin, how about this? We fundamentally disagree on Marcus Golden, and we just agree to disagree. How about that?
Yeah.
And we get on with the end of the show.
You are wrong, but.
No, I'm not. I'm
guys,
right.
Guys, we started this show like really appreciating each other.
Yeah.
What happened?
We went too long.
Yeah. We're good on time. We're doing good on time.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing good on time.
Let's keep going. You want to talk about? Want to talk about number 21? Fucking miserable.
Yeah. You know what?
I don't want to.
I'm gonna wrap off some best moments that I also have, and then I want you to tell the tiki story. Have you ever heard the tiki story?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't think you have. Interviewing Joe Morris.
That was awesome. Yeah.
An in-person,
very cool
player interview. In the middle of a diner with that $30 microphone I talked about before.
Yes. That was very cool. Joe Morris was awesome.
We had dinner with him, too. It wasn't just the interview. We had dinner with him.
I had pancakes. What'd you have?
I had something where I knew I wouldn't get very dirty. Mm. I forget. I am a sucker for Eggs Benedict.
Eggs Benedict are great. Yeah. Love especially it. In a Jersey diner.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So interviewing Joe Morris, being the only show dedicated to Giants history, which kind of talked about that up the top, on the top. If these walls could talk, grab it. If these walls could talk.
Talk.
By Ernie Paladino. There it is. That is really the book that launched this show as a history show.
Yeah.
Because that is really the first thing that we did. And you can kind of just open it up and see how many annotations are in there. I mean, just that book is littered.
We ripped through it. Yeah. It
littered with annotations. And my handwriting is atrocious.
Your handwriting is god awful.
Yeah.
Good thing he talks and doesn't write.
Oh, my
for
God.
A living.
Oh, you're not smart enough to write like this.
And also, you know what? And the If These Walls Could Talk, which was an awesome thing that you brought up and that we did, it segued to other books that we did.
Which I do think us reading books like that those were the best episodes.
I agree. The best Coughlin episode. Books, the Patty Trainer book, it, awesome.
Yeah. I loved No Medals for Trying.
Yes, No
because
Medals for
that
Trying is
book,
awesome.
I really recommend it. Of course, buy If These Walls Could Talk, too. But, like, same thing with the Patty book. Like, that was part of a series where, you know, all of the teams from a lot of other sports have these backdoor stories. But No Medals for Trying by Jerry Eisenberg, it brought us back to 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And especially after the Giants won their first Super Bowl. So there's part of this. They have this allure to them. And LT is like this mythical figure. He's written like that in 1989. Not just written about it like it's 2022.
Right.
Like we already know that
he is. It's in that moment.
It's in that moment. You know, Bill Parcells is this really good coach. Phil Simms is this tough motherfucker. LT, tough motherfucker, mythical figure, Superman-like guy.
Literally.
So that I really recommend reading that book, especially you know, if you're on a little vacay. You know, if you're you know, waiting for Giants
football.
If you're
getting divorced or something like anything like that.
Yeah, anything like that.
Works.
Can you tell me the Tiki Barber story, please? Haven't done it yet this offseason.
Are you sure? I feel like we have.
Nope. We did it once last offseason, and now we're doing it.
So, David, you never heard the story, huh?
I don't think so.
All right, well, it's no secret I don't like Tiki Barber.
No, I knew that, yeah.
I hate him. His death, I will throw a party.
Nice.
Maybe bleep that out. But So the home opener, that's 2018. The girlfriend I had that Justin broke up with on my behalf, or caused the breakup.
Good job, Justin.
So we're sitting in good seats. Like, she got us good seats for the home opener against the Jaguars. And the Giants brought out all these legends, you know, before, you know, they announced all these legends. And it's Carson, Banks, Amani Toomer, Tiki Barber. And then Michael Strahan. So they put Tiki in between two beloved Giants. So when Tiki came on, I stood on my chair and I started booing the absolute miserable living shit out of him.
And your girlfriend got you really good seats for this home opener.
They were awesome seats.
Where were they? I mean,
yeah, it was like, I think it was like 100. Like,
so we're talking very low.
Oh, I'm sorry, 200, but like two rows up.
Gotcha.
Everything.
Gotcha.
Everything you see. And I'm fucking screaming bloody murder. I'm booing Tiki. I'm fuck Tiki. Quitting scumbag. I'm turning around. People are like, yeah, fuck him. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck him. And I took my jersey off. I was just like, fuck him. I'm going nuts. So I sit down after the ceremony's over, and there's a woman to my left. There's two seats in between. There's a woman to my left. Very pretty woman. She goes, you should really think twice about what you say when, you know. I was like, what are you talking about?
What's the line? Who the fuck are you?
Oh, no. Oh, all right. No, I said that to the old man.
Oh.
I said that to the old man.
Please. This is a lady.
This is a lady, yeah. I'm a little bit more respectful than that. I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, that's my husband. I was like, who? She's like, Tiki Barber. It's like, yeah, okay. Well, one, I was like, yeah, okay. Two, and I said this word to word. I said, well, your husband's a quitter. And I told her that. I right to her face, blank in the eye, dead fucking straight in the eye. Your husband's a quitter. So then I'm bitching at her. She's bitching at me. So I was like, my ex-girlfriend's name is Kristen. I'm like, Kristen, look up Tiki Barber's wife. Because I didn't believe it. So it goes to Google. She Googles it and shows me a picture. And I look. I was like, oh, fuck.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's her. That's really her. So then, unprovoked, I got up again. And I said, fuck Tiki Barber. Old man gets up. Her father, Tiki's father-in-law, gets up and like says something wise. I said, who the fuck are you? I stood up to him. I was like, who the fuck are you? It's like, I'm the father-in-law. He says something like that. I was like, I don't give a fuck who you are. He's a quitting scumbag cocksucker is what I said. And then security, they came and got me.
Nice.
They didn't throw me out.
Where did you go?
Up top, where I belong.
Where you belong.
With the rest of the animals.
I was like, I paid this much fucking money. And Kristen, my dumbass ex-girlfriend, she goes, I paid for it. Shut the fuck up.
Not the time.
Shut the fuck up. I was like, stop. I said, I paid a lot of fucking money for these seats. He goes, well, you can't be saying these things. I said, I don't give a fuck. I'll say whatever I want. I was like, where am I living? Am I living in North Korea? Am I living in America? I can't say what I want to say? They're like, all right, well, we're not gonna throw you out. We're going to take you up top. I said, good. Do me a favor. Fucking people cheering when I'm coming out, going like this. I was like, that's right. That's right. Go Giant. We lost because we sucked.
Of course.
Against the Jaguars.
I remember that game, man.
Went up top.
Tom Coughlin's Jaguars.
Yeah. Went up top. The rest was history. So moral of the story is I verbally abused Tiki Barber's wife and her.
And family.
And family, yeah.
Rightfully so.
I agree. Yeah. Like Kristen, when we went home that night, she's like, what were you thinking? It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? What was I thinking?
Well, and that's, you're telling the story, and I'm thinking to myself, she's sitting there the whole time. How could she be surprised that you went to the game instead of the engagement party? Right? Justin, I think you're a hero.
I have no comment.
You're a hero, Justin.
Justin, stay silent on this matter.
I have no comment.
Yeah, and she loved Justin too, which was really,
yeah, she really did. She yeah. really
which
did
also,
love me.
And again, is also just another
red flag.
Because that's a really poor judgment of character.
I agree. I don't love Justin. I just tolerate him.
He's a mean to an end. He's
a tyrant.
We need him.
He's a tyrant.
We need him, but we don't want him.
We don't want him. That's the Tiki Barber story, and that's why we sign off. Fuck Tiki Barber every week.
Yeah, that is
and
why.
And if you like Tiki Barber, you're not a real Giants fan.
Wow.
Yep.
If you like Gerrit Cole, you're not a real
Yankee fan. Yeah. Until Gerrit Cole wins 3 rings, he's not a real Yankee.
That's in your bio.
It's in my Twitter bio.
Twitter bio, yeah.
That's right.
I thought we'd have time to talk the Giants this year.
We do.
We do?
Yeah. I had no idea, babe.
Okay. Why don't we get one, last 5 minutes?
Yeah,
Dave,
quick.
What are you thinking about this year's Giants, Dave?
I feel really good. I mean, okay. Well, I said before, Super Bowl bound. I'm sticking to it. Fuck it.
Super Bowl bound.
No. No, I mean, I think they're. I think they're being controlled by people with brains, which is a nice, nice step in the
right
direction.
That's like the first thing I always say.
Yeah. What do you think of Joe Shane? Just the hire and his draft and stuff like that. Signings, free agent signings. Not that there was that many.
There's a direction. There's a clear direction. There's a clear agenda. Yep. It's clear that these moves are not being made in a vacuum. It all seems to be cohesive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it going to translate to wins? I have no idea. But
we'll find that one out. Yeah.
I think it'll translate to at least 6 or 7 wins because the schedule is also
I'm a little bit more bullish. I think we can get to 7, 8, 9.
I do too. But yeah. I'm just saying if.
I know. Yeah,
I'm betting the over. I'm putting $100 on over 7.5.
Is that what
you know? I think it's a good bet. The schedule. But go ahead, David. I'm sorry. This is your time.
No. I mean, I think I'm excited for them. I'm excited for Thibodeau. Obviously, I'm excited to have bookend tackles. That'll be really nice.
Yep.
I'm excited to see what Daniel Jones can do with an offense that actually is catered to him.
And in a system that is like born to be in 2022 and not 1989.
Yeah, and he's clearly and he has shown us year after year that when he's given the keys to an offense that's catered to what he does well,
dude, he can ball.
He can ball. He puts the ball wherever he wants. Yeah, he's got good arm strength. Like you still see people on Twitter trying to dispel arm strength, and like that's just bullshit. That's clearly just
he's not going to make the Patrick Mahomes throws on the run like that.
But I'm sorry, if you have a team that's coached the right way, strategized the right way, you don't need one.
Right.
I
agree.
Firmly believe that
you don't
need a generational talent at quarterback year after you look at teams that win a lot of games.
Look at the Steelers.
Yeah.
They're 500 in the playoffs every year, and they had a corpse of Ben Roethlisberger for the last 5.
Yeah.
Coaching, scheme, all these different things. They tailor it to their team and what their strengths are. So
yeah, I'm excited to see the areas of this team that's been bad for 3-4 years be stronger.
I think mainly coaching. I think coaching for this year because the talent is getting there. Especially the now we have young talent. When you talk about Tibbs, when you talk about Evan Neal, Aziz Ojulari is still like my age, and he's younger than me. I'm 24.
He's younger than you. Yeah,
24. He's like 22, 23. Aziz. Yeah. So he's still growing up. But something that is going to be vastly different, despite not having all the talent there, is that the coaching.
Yeah.
And the complete coaching offense, defense.
And you know what? I've talked to this with Justin because when he gives me like 1 5-minute rant about the current day Giants on Bleeding Blue. My favorite thing about this offseason was obviously the new front office and what Joe Shane is doing to get rid of a lot of the cancers that were in that building.
Still haven't hired a director of college scouting.
I like that though. Take time. It's fine.
I'm available.
It's fine. I'm available. Like, I thought the Brandon Brown hire was significant.
Yes,
absolutely.
Very significant. And unfortunately, he will be a GM very soon. Yeah. But I'm hoping we get like a year or two out of him. What I loved about the Dable hire, and by the way, me and Justin knew Joe Shane was going to be GM for like 3 months before it ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
we did.
It's true.
The day that Gettleman was out, that's why I had my Joe Shane.
There was a reason why Joe Shane video came out right away.
Yeah,
we knew. I'll tell you off the air. Brian Daboll, like that was the easy hire. But what I love that Daboll did, hire a staff that are just good coaches.
Yeah.
Like Wink Martindale's a good coach. He didn't work with him. He has no idea, but he knows he's a good coach. Mike Kafka, I mean, jury's still out. He hasn't been an offense coordinator, but he comes from a good system. Andy Reid, all these different guys.
What were we saying on the train?
Well, yeah, and we were talking about the train here. We are impressed with Daboll's hires because he's hiring guys.
Particularly Kafka.
Kafka especially, because Kafka did things in Kansas City that he didn't do well in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, right. Exactly.
Manufactured targets, screen passes, things like that.
And that's not what
Buffalo was predicated on, but it's what Kansas City was predicated
on. Right, exactly. So you bring that in. So you mix Dable's strengths with Kafka's strengths. There you go. Perfect. And like the Martindale. Joe Judge, I love Joe Judge. I will stick up for Joe Judge till the day I die. I'm sorry, I will. But he was filling out his coaching staff with guys he worked with. That was it.
Comfort.
That was it. Comfort.
Yeah.
Outside of Jason Garrett, it was just a comfort zone. Brian Dibb was going out, okay, you're a good coach, Wink Martindale. be my defense coordinator. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's the change in that.
And but guys, but, and they're guys who have fucking won.
Yeah,
they're, but it they're is winning fucked up. Coaches, even yes. if even if they weren't in the same role, right? Mike Kafka. I mean, the man has won.
He's won.
Brian Daboll's won football games. You know, Wink Martindale's won a lot of football games.
But it is just so winning. Fucked up that part of me thinks that John Mara heard Joe Judge's vision for the future, including Ken Dorsey, including Brian Daboll. Ken Dorsey is the offensive coordinator for the Bills right
for
now.
Bills, yeah.
Brian Daboll is the offensive coordinator for the Bills, or was the offensive coordinator for the Bills. I think John Mara heard part of that vision. Let me look into this Joe Shane guy. Let me look into this Brian Daboll guy. You know?
Seems to be a good
and
little...
Patrick Graham worked. Like, yeah, Patrick Graham worked. Yeah. So I think part of it is so fucked up that Joe Judge's, like, in a way, this may be Joe Judge's vision for the Giants, except it just doesn't include
He's
Joe Judge.
He's not here, yeah. And you know what? I will always say he never... Joe Judge never
He got fucked. He got fucked.
He never had a chance.
Did you think that, or were you ready to... Are you ready? I mean, I think it was the right thing to do.
No, he had to go.
It was the right thing to do.
I think...
You got to have the head coach GM on the same side.
Yes.
Joe Judge, I agree, never had a chance because the roster was just not constructed in a way that...
It was the roster. The GM didn't even pick him. It was the owner.
Yeah,
didn't have his quarterback.
When you're off
didn't
cycle.
Pick his offensive coordinator. He never had a chance.
He never had a chance, but I also think he was over his head. I think the job was over his head.
Yes.
Maybe it would be different if the roster was constructed in such a way. You know, if a guy, just completely hypothetical example, if you said a guy like, you know, Andy Reid just stepped down, he just retired, and for some reason they choose Joe Judge. Well, maybe he might have a little bit more success because I think he was way in over his head for a team that needed an overhaul.
Right.
He's not capable of that, at least not at this stage in the game, not for his first job.
No, I agree. I also do think he did a really good job coaching that team in 2020, along with Patrick Graham. Obviously, he probably should get more of the credit, but they were a six-win team. Yes, I understand that, but they also could have won two or three other games.
Yeah.
Bad turnovers late, Chicago, L.A.
Daniel Jones gets hurt.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, like, I do think Joe Judge is a good football coach. But the situation that he inherited, he never, ever stood a chance.
He'll go somewhere else. I don't think he'll ever get another head coach.
College job. I think the stink of the Giants.
He's born for college.
I think
the stink of the Giants, of his Giants tenure, will wear off after a while.
What if he takes over New England?
Stop that.
He's going to retire eventually.
Stop.
Bill loves him.
This is what the Patriots do. The coaches go out, then they come back. Because they fail and they come back.
McDaniels will be back in a few years.
Judge's
Patricia,
like...
Patricia's
back. Patricia's an offensive coach
now. Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are going to run the offense of the Patriots this year.
Stop that.
I'm not kidding. That's their plan.
But that's actually crazy. You know how many times they're going to run the football?
Yeah, they're going to score 11 points a game.
I think one of them may be the running game coordinator. I need an update as to who's actually going to be calling the plays.
Well, they said it was Patricia or Judge that are going to call the plays.
Yeah, but I think... I thought I heard something that they were leaning towards Patricia or one of was going to be running game coordinator, passing game coordinator, and I think Judge may be the running
our Lord running and Savior game. Joe Judge, man.
I will say Joe Judge did fix the Giants running game in 2020.
He did. And
with that H-back play of Caden Smith being the lead blocker, they debuted it against the Cowboys, the first Cowboy game. And that's when the running game really started to pick up with Wayne Gallman and company.
Yeah.
So,
and Gallman was very good in 2020.
That was a fun year.
It was a fun year. It was a fun year.
That win in Seattle.
It sucks that Jones.
That win in Seattle.
It sucks that Jones got hurt because really, I talk about this at the time. I wasn't doing the stat report on YouTube. I was writing a blog for TalkingGiants.com. That don't look up TalkingGiants.com. The URL doesn't exist anymore. It's a shame. But I was writing and I'm like looking at the Giants like advanced data of like their EPA. It's like they're not scoring a bunch of points, but the offense was kind of catching. Like they
fire.
Were getting, they were not catching fire.
Well,
that's bad.
In a sense,
they were
yeah.
getting their stride.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Like
I know
they were losing games.
Fire.
Like
yeah.
that Eagle game that Evan Engram dropped. I mean, the offense was kind of moving the ball well. The Cincinnati game it featured some explosive plays right after the bye, and then of course he's got to get hurt. The home Eagle game was a perfect game, but the problem with that is that the home Eagle game was a perfect game. They still didn't break 30 points.
Right,
and that was the issue that Daniel Jones has to play absolutely perfect to put up 27 points.
Yeah,
and that was the
well,
issue
I think
with the
that, so
Judge and Garrett era.
To bring it full circle this year, I am
score fucking points.
Exceedingly, I am exceedingly confident that the Giants will score 30 points this season.
At least once.
At least once. That's all I want.
Yeah.
That's all I fucking
want. Oh, no. I would hope that they would do it more than once.
No, I know. I know.
Well, that would be nice. That would be a change.
Maybe
nice change.
You know, average like 35.
And you know what's funny to me? Like that Saints game last year, which another one. That's almost like the Seattle
took
win.
Took them five quarters.
Yeah.
And they still didn't score 30.
No.
They played terrible in the first, like the first half. They didn't play well.
I tell you what, though. That was a really, really nice win.
Yeah.
Like that comeback in the last few minutes, that was a nice win.
And again, that's another time. You know, it sucks that it took Jason Garrett until, you know, being forced into that game plan due to the game condition. Right. But again, that's another example of if you are still behind Daniel Jones and you still are willing to give him benefit of the doubt, you point to that and you say, look, this was a game plan that featured deep balls, you know, John Ross going deep. It featured Saquon Barkley out of the backfield doing different shit.
Yep.
Kenny Golladay.
It featured Kenny Golladay.
Posts, yeah, Tony. What he's strength.
You know, it was featuring what the Giants offense does have to
offer.
Saquon
as a receiver, yeah.
So, you know, let's give the keys to a couple of guys who understand that concept.
And I think that's what I'm most excited about is that we have the mindset, the offensive mindset in the building now as head coach and offensive coordinator to unleash that.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm looking forward to Kadarius Toney and Wandale Robinson, what they're going to do with these guys.
I thought he was a bust.
He was a bust.
Well, he is a
Wandale
bust.
Wandale Robinson.
He's a bust. Yeah. So is Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. But I am excited to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Kayvon Thibodeau, by the way, I don't know what he's going to do. That's the best Giants draft pick since Jeremy Shockey. Like, just...
It's the most needed.
Most needed, he's the most needed. But also in a sense.
Since Eli Manning. Well, he was not a draft pick. Ha, fuck me.
Look at that. But also in a sense where his personality.
Transaction.
A need, his personality, just larger than life. I think.
Superstar, yeah.
He's got superstar written all over.
Because even when Odell was drafted.
Nobody knew who Odell was like that.
He didn't have the same personality.
No, not at all.
It was only after he blew up.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like Thibodeau, you knew. And with Sam Prince announcing and him going up there, and he was so pumped, like,
I think
we hit a home run.
And pre-draft, you know, Kayvon, you could tell he wanted to be in New York.
Yeah. He did.
He wanted to be a New York Giant.
He wanted
to be in the market.
Or the Jets, he wanted to be in New York. Yeah.
And at the start of the college football season, you said, who's the number one and number two pick in the NFL draft?
Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal.
Yeah.
And what was Dallas Cowboys? Did you know, when you zoom in?
Oh, yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal, number two. And Justin, I think you asked me on Bleeding Blue, like, who do you want? And I said Evan Neal first. I said, perfect world, Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau. That's it.
Yeah.
So now they just got to perform and not make us look like fucking assholes.
They're on the right direction.
That's right.
All right. Damn.
So, this is it. I want to give a thank you to not only the people that are sitting here, but I also want to thank you for, you know, listening. We've had a good amount of people that have listened throughout the last, you know, 4 years, really 3 years when the show has been kind of going strong. This show is my baby. It always will be my baby. I guess we didn't talk about why this is the last episode of Bleeding Blue. I feel like I kind of want the football content that we do, not just the Giants content that we do. I kind of want to take that in a little bit of a different direction next offseason. And I'm not putting Bleeding Blue to bed for good. Like, there are things that interest me that I like, filmmaking, like the idea of like making a documentary on like Emlyn Tennell or making a documentary about, you know, something, you know, down the road, you know, 20 years from now about like the 07 team or the 11 team, a story or something, you know, something will come up as years, more stories are going to come up and more stories are going to be made public. So I'm like attracted to that idea, and that will all be based on Bleeding Blue and anything that we do with the history of the game, you know, in terms of how we want to, you know, talk about football and analyze the game of football. That will all stem from Bleeding Blue. And then obviously I owe what I do now as a career, and the fact that we're sitting in this office in Manhattan, and you know, you see this is a nice table.
This
isn't
is really
it?
Nice.
Really though. Nice
the
table.
The city's not.
It's nice.
City's a shithole.
Yeah, city, city's not.
It's a nice thick piece of wood.
But I wouldn't be here without everybody that kind of chose to, you know, click on, or you know, hit follow on Twitter, because that's such a big deal too. And I certainly wouldn't be here without the two people that are sitting here. So I thank you both. I love you both. I love you all. If you're listening to this, whether you've been here for a week, a day, 3 years, 4 years, a month,
an
I love
hour.
You all. An hour?
An hour.
Because that's how long this has been about. I love you all. Keep on bleeding blue forever. And snacks.
Fuck Tiki Barber.